Hey guys, welcome back to Drinks First. I truly don't think you understand how good this feels for me to say that. I know I went on a hiatus at the end of 2019, and what I really thought was going to be a short hiatus where I would return back with your normal scheduled content, but I realized that I kind of dove into Drinks First head on back in September or October, whenever it was, and I love the way it turned out. I could have never imagined the sort of response that I've gotten. Thousands of downloads and trending in 5+ countries. That's like insane. And my friends and family have been so supportive. I love the community that we've built thus far. And I really had some great plans for season two. But then a global pandemic happened and I am currently stuck in New York City, quarantined with my family, which I am so thankful for. And it has been a wild ride here. As you guys know, it's the epicenter of cases in the US. I've had friends who've been personally affected by the disease. I've had family who's been affected by the disease. And it's just, I couldn't even imagine living through something like this in my lifetime, yet here we are. But I'm so lucky to be in the situation that I am, and so privileged to be able to sit in my house and make this content for you. So I really hope that I'm able to provide some levity in this situation, because if there's anything that doesn't change, that is the feeling of being connected, the feeling of being loved, being able to laugh, being able to cry, and being able to relate to other experiences. So here I am. I'm releasing Drinks First Cocktail Hour. It's going to be a mini series of episodes in which I'm adding a whole new level to the Drinks First ecosystem. I'm interviewing seasoned vets, dating experts, gurus, whatever you want to call them, influencers, podcasters, matchmakers who know their way around New York City's dating scene, because I by no means am true north. I do not know what I'm talking about half the time. So I really hope you guys can appreciate this new perspective, and I really hope you enjoy the new content. And don't you worry, season two will be coming back with a vengeance with some of the best singles in New York City, or, you know, kind of best singles in New York City. And yeah, for the time being, I'm recording remotely and just trying to provide some entertainment for you guys. So if you like it, if you don't like it, hit me up at drinks.first on Instagram, drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com, and at ArianaNathani28 on Instagram. And if you love it, leave me a review on Apple. That totally helps. I would not complain. So yeah, let's get into it. To be transparent, this following episode was recorded before any pandemic, any social distancing, literally before we had the idea of the coronavirus in our heads. So it was done in person. The recommendations about going out and whatnot, keep that for after we get out of this situation. For now, I hope you enjoy, and there will be some more relatable quarantine content coming your way. I'm super excited about this episode, and there we go. Welcome back to Drinks First. Today, my podcast guest is, I'm like actually in shock. She's the whole reason I started podcasting. Her name, and this is our first non-anonymous guest, so that's very exciting. Her name is Lindsay Metzeler. She's the host of We Met at Acme, which is an incredible podcast about dating and relationships and whatnot in New York City and beyond. So, Lindsay, I would love if you could just introduce yourself, say your age and where you're from.
Totally. You did such a great job. That was like the sweetest introduction anyone has ever given me. So thank you. And hopefully, am I close enough?
Yeah, you're okay, fine.
Cool. So as you mentioned, my name is Lindsay. I'm from New York City, like yourself. and also went to Spence. We have that in common. And I'm 29.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay. Yeah. I remember you saying you were young.
Yeah. So we did go to the same high school, but we never overlapped.
We didn't, unfortunately.
Yeah. But a lot of our listeners are native New Yorkers. So where did you go to Spence throughout?
No, I went to Spence from kindergarten to eighth grade, okay. And then I did high school at Hewitt.
Mm-hmm.
My grade at Spence was, like, a trouble grade. Like, we were always getting in trouble. Like, everyone, all my friends got kicked out. It was, like, a disaster. We were like mean girls. It wasn't cute.
Mm-hmm.
And when all my friends got kicked out, I was like, I don't really want to be here anymore. And my sister went to Hewitt at the time. She's older. And I was like, I'll just go somewhere where, like, it's kind of familiar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's something really special about all-girls schools.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for women, more than all-boys schools for men, I feel like it gives us, like, this voice. And, like, we're not afraid to just, like, be who we are. And we don't care what we look like when we go to school. And
yeah,
we don't care,
true.
Like, what sports or clubs, like, might be dorky to guys. Because, like, we're just doing it for ourselves. I feel
mm-hmm.
like that's kind of cool.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Boston University.
Mm-hmm.
I initially was trying to go to Cornell. My dad went there. I thought it was, you know, what I wanted to do and be in the hotel school.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's, like, in that industry. And I was like, oh, I'll do, like, what he wants me to do. But I visited Cornell and I was a little depressed being that, like, in Ithaca. And then I visited BU and I was like, this place is so cool.
Yeah.
There's a million different colleges. There's so many people here that, like, are not, like everyone from the city went to Cornell, went
mm-hmm.
to, like, all these Ivies. I really wanted a different experience. And then, funny enough, I ended up rooming, not freshman year, but sophomore to senior year, with a high school, like, a girl from my high school.
Really?
And we were never close in high school. And then we got to college, and, like, we ended up being best friends,
mm-hmm.
and so it all just, like, it was aligned and worked out.
What did you study?
I studied communication.
Mm-hmm.
I was a film and television major.
Oh, cool. And when you left school, kind of, what were you doing? Did you come straight back to New York?
Yeah, so I actually, while I was in school, I did a summer in L.A., I had an internship there, and I was like, oh, maybe I want to go into the film industry. I was interning for 20th Century Fox. I
mm-hmm.
thought it was so cool. But I didn't love L.A. And so when I graduated, I moved to the city, and I was like, okay, I still want to do this film thing, but, like, maybe I can make it work in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, deep down I knew I was kidding myself because, like, you really have to move to L.A.
Yeah.
and know all about that. But I got a job as a production assistant
mm-hmm.
on the set of a show for Discovery Channel. And that was really cool. It was a great experience. But I was like, I don't think this is for me.
Mm-hmm.
What else is out there? And I really was into social media at the time. It was, like, starting to grow. Twitter was a big thing. It's so funny because, like, this is how you'll realize my age. Like, Twitter had just started and Instagram was not a thing yet when I graduated. Like, Instagram
mm-hmm.
was a place where you edited your photos.
Yeah.
And posted them and just used it for the filters.
And, like, the preset filters that they
yeah,
have.
The preset
yeah.
filters.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I remember this one filter. I forgot the name, but it was, like, the first ever Instagram filter. But anyway, so it wasn't really a thing, but Twitter was becoming a thing, and I was, like, really, you know, into it. And I was like, I wonder if there's anything I can do here. So I started writing for a magazine and, like, doing their Twitter. And so, like, having a job in social media at the time was really just Twitter. And then
mm-hmm.
eventually it was Instagram. And now it's, like, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest.
Yeah.
Like, Snapchat. So I started a career in social media. And that's still what I do when I'm not doing the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about how you started the podcast.
Yeah. So I started the podcast because I found myself single and unhappy and confused because I was, like, the go-to person out of my friends for dating advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how did I end up here? And clearly I need to learn some shit. I was 27. I just turned 27 at the
mm-hmm.
time. And I just turned 27. Yeah. And, but for some reason, I feel like the podcast has been around for longer, but maybe not. maybe like 2.5 years then, I guess.
Yeah.
And I was just like looking to learn more. And I've always been such a curious person. Like I ask people a million questions all the time. And I've been like that since I was younger. So mm-hmm. I was like, let's see what I can do with this. Like, let's, obviously social media is an awesome career, but it wasn't super fulfilling. I was mm-hmm. maybe if I can help people figure out dating while I figure it out myself, then there's something there. Because there was nothing, there was no dating podcast at the time, and I needed one. And so I was like, if I can't find one, I'll make one. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how We Met at Acme was born.
And how did you come up with the name?
I came up with a name because I'm such, like, when I say I'm going to do something, like, it's almost destructive because I do it that second. Like, I don't hesitate at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, I want Shake Shack, I ordered it. Mm-hmm. And then someone's like, well, are you going to get it? I'm like, oh, I already ordered it. So the second I decided I wanted to do a dating podcast, I was like, I need a name and I'm going to come up with a name immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, We Met, sounds cool. It seems like, you know, a dating podcast, but like, where did you meet? That's cool. And then I was reading someone's Instagram comments, like a couple that just got married and mm-hmm. they were so cool. And someone wrote like, I can't believe they met at Acme. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh
like,
my God.
Met at Acme. It's perfect. And I was going out to Acme at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great.
This
it
is actually
like right.
yeah. a question I mm-hmm. ask all of my guests, which is like, where do you like to go out and where are you liking like restaurants, bars, food? Things like that.
Great question. Well, I love Don Angie, where I'm going tonight for dinner.
Yeah.
In terms of restaurants, I love Bar Pitti. I mm-hmm. love Passis. I'm so happy it's back. I love classic, like Serafina. I still love, like growing up on, you know, up here.
I literally just rediscovered Serafina after moving back, and it's still so good.
I mean, it's just divine.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Italian person. I love, like, Greek places, too, mm-hmm. and Israeli places. I was at Bond Street the other night. Mm-hmm. So good. So overpriced, but yes. So good.
So overpriced.
And in terms of spots to go out, I still really like Acme.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just said on my last episode, I was at Soho Grand recently, mm-hmm. and it's, like, it's fun. It was popping. Like, I ran into a lot of people. It's so funny because you're like, where is everyone? And then mm-hmm. you go to one of those places, you're like, oh. And I know, like, in terms of nightclubs, people like to go to the Blonde, mm-hmm. and people like to go to, like, Casablanca and, like, I don't know, Socialista. I don't even know if that's a real place, but you get it.
Socialista is a place.
Okay, good.
It's...
Oh, and people love to go to that one that, like, is, like, plays the ns music, like Amaya or something.
Oh, yeah, Amaya. It's, like, yeah, it's under Casa Mescal.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. That's so funny, the ns.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, tell me a bit about your dating life.
Yeah. Well, I'm recently single.
Mm-hmm.
My ex and I broke up at the beginning of January, and I took some time to, like, heal and to be with myself and to see movies alone, which I love doing, and then I decided I was ready to date recently, so I've been going out on dates, and it's been really interesting. I don't want to rush into anything mm-hmm. and, like, never be single again. And I'm really just trying to enjoy this time and, like, see who comes into my orbit, because I feel like having been on the other side of it, like, I know what it's like to know that, like, you don't have options anymore because mm-hmm. you're with someone. And so it's nice to just, you know, think about the possibilities.
Mm-hmm. How long was your last relationship?
It was almost 2 years. I would say, like, a year and a half, yeah.
And... how are you, like, going about meeting people right now?
So I'm actually not on the apps, which mm-hmm. is so funny because I'm such a big proponent of dating apps.
Mm-hmm.
But because of what I do, I've met so many people.
Yeah.
And I just think it would be silly for me to go on an app when I already know so many, like, eligible bachelors from all the matchmaking events and, like, singles dinners I do. And, I might as well see who around me is interesting and, like, mm-hmm. put myself out there at my own events first. And then, you know, if nothing happens there, then I'll try the apps.
Do you think you want to date someone who listens to your podcast?
It's so funny because I don't think it's possible to not, and that's not because I think, like, everyone listens to my podcast, but yeah. I think, like, I even if I date them and they've never heard of my podcast, they're going to hear about it, and mm-hmm. then they're going to start listening.
Yeah.
Because they're dating me and know that I have a podcast.
You had, like, I guess half a year, maybe, of being single before you started yeah. dating while you mm-hmm. had your podcast. What was that like? Was it weird to navigate?
Yeah, well, that was when it was, like, really first, like, when I was establishing it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't as confident about it as I am now that I've, like, grown it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, yeah, I have this podcast, like, I don't know what to tell you, and, like, I hope, like, you know, it's something that you kind of have to accept, like, I'm not gonna talk about you unless, like, you give me a reason to.
Yeah.
And there were some guys that were really not okay with it, and mm-hmm. were, and I think that was their own insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy I dated briefly who was, like, you know, really dictating to me what I could or could not talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like that. Whereas, like, now, like, one of the guys I'm going out on dates with, like, is just so respectful and curious and interested in what I'm doing that I don't feel a need to talk about
mm-hmm.
him, you know, because, like, there's that level of respect as opposed to, you know, some guy trying to tell you what to do.
Yeah. So, you said you're sort of dating now, and were you on apps before, or?
On apps before my relationship?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, no, I met my ex on Hinge.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't mention that, but I did. So I was on them, like, big time.
Mm-hmm. And with Hinge, like, back, I feel like back a few years ago, it was friends of friends.
Mm, I loved that.
Yeah. It's not like that anymore, right?
It's not, but I think it's not, but it was. I think that when I met my ex, it was like that because
yeah.
I remember distinctly being able to see people we had in common.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love that it's not like that now.
Yeah, same.
Because it's nice to know, like, who you have in common
mm-hmm.
and, like, you know, vet them a little bit. But I still think it's a great app.
So, proponent of Hinge. And what about the other apps?
I think Bumble's great.
Mm-hmm.
I even think Tinder's good if you, like, can navigate through the creeps.
Yeah.
And, like, I have friends that met on Coffee Meets Bagel.
Oh, wow, yeah.
People that met on J-Swipe,
mm-hmm.
on OkCupid. Like, they're all...
Whatever the app
is. As long
is.
As people are on the app, like, it can be successful.
Yeah. What I thought was kind of funny also in your last episode... you were talking about being on Raya and,
mm.
like, trying to find podcast guests on it.
Yep.
And with one of my guests, we talked about Raya briefly. I know that there's, like, a lot of curiosity about it because it's so, like, elusive, exclusive, whatever. But I've heard from people who are on it, it's, like...
It's not as exciting. It's so funny. I talk so much shit about... I call it Raya for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know which one it is. But I talk so much shit about Raya that, like, it's insane that they're still okay with me being on it. I hate it. Like, everyone on Raya is a wannabe photographer,
mm-hmm.
cares a lot about their Instagram following, like, thinks that, like, tries to choose, you have to choose a song for your
mm-hmm.
profiles, but, like, tries to choose, like, the artsiest song from, like, the band that, like, you've never heard of.
Right.
And it's just, like, competition of, like, who... is, like, who has a bigger Instagram. And
right.
it's just not for me, because I don't even want a guy who's on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what am I doing here when it comes to dating?
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there's so many great people on there for podcast guests.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm going to try to keep this.
How do you kind of choose who you want on your podcast?
Well, right now we're having a drought for men. So it's
I
pretty
feel
much,
that
like,
hard.
All men. I'm like... Do you want to come on the podcast? Do you want to come on the podcast? And they're like, no. Like, I want to go on a date. And I'm like, oh, same. Like, let's go on a date recording my podcast.
Yeah.
So it's tough to navigate, but I'm trying to get some guests that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely also hard for me to find guys to come on the podcast. Because it's like, will you talk about yourself for an hour
right.
and be comfortable with it? Like... It's definitely And also be, like, a good person who I want to put out there, you
right,
know?
And, like, be open and yeah. say how you really feel about certain issues.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's, like, similar for, like, you and your friends, but at least for me and my friends, like, we grew up with dating apps. Like, all of dating mm-hmm. has been on dating apps. I've had Tinder since I was 16.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, not at all for us. We grew up and we didn't have dating apps, mm-hmm. so we, like, had to talk to one another.
Exactly.
When we were out, and then I remember I graduated in 2012, and then I moved back to the city. It was, like, around 2013 that Tinder was, like, in beta. And, or maybe it was even 2012, but Tinder was in beta and my friend's friend started it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like invited to try the beta. And I remember I was like, this is so cool. Like I'm trying this thing like no one's ever done. And and because it was in beta, it was like all people I kind of knew,
yeah.
like friends of friends.
Yeah.
And I ended up meeting this great guy, like who I'm still close with today and friends with. And I was like, dating apps are amazing. And since then, it's just, like, been, like, a really downhill dive with dating apps. Because that's when they were, like, it was, like, everyone was vetted.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of, like, you have no idea what you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's what, like, Raya is trying to do and what the league is trying mm-hmm. to do. But, I mean... Like I said, I'm not on Raya. I actually got a friend pass. Like, somebody referred me.
Right.
And I still can't get on it.
You're not missing out.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm a little, not gonna lie, a little butthurt. I'm like,
no,
all right,
don't
well.
Be. Don't be.
But it's whatever. And mm-hmm. then the league, I'm on the league. But me and my friends, like, pretty much everyone, people are like, the league just doesn't work.
Yeah, just, like, no one, I remember I had it a while back, like, no one really started a conversation.
Yeah, for some so reason, weird. I can't get anyone to talk to me if I do match with them,
right.
and matching with them is, like, so infrequent.
Right, it's like, is everyone a robot? I don't know.
It's very, very bizarre. I know one friend who met her boyfriend off of the league, but I kind of feel like she was an anomaly.
Right.
Because I feel like anybody who has the league is on all of these other dating apps.
That's the thing, like... That's why it's like, oh, what dating app is best? Like, any dating app,
yeah.
really, you know?
I do polls on my Instagram, too, and, like, found out that the most used dating app, at least amongst, like, my listeners,
mm-hmm.
was Hinge. Like, by a long shot.
Well, I think that's the one, I think why it's working is because it asks you so many
mm-hmm.
questions, so it's not just, like, you can say anything on your profile,
yeah.
you know?
That's why I think people now are getting fed up with dating apps and really crave that meeting in person.
Mm.
And we were talking a little bit before about matchmakers, and I know that in New York City, that's like a resource for people. And I think for my listeners who are probably just like slightly younger, that's not something they're looking for now.
Right.
But it's more advice on how to navigate dating on dating apps, because that's sort of where everyone is at this point.
Yeah, well, I say to take it in person, like,
mm-hmm.
right away. I don't think you should be talking on a dating app for more than, like, a couple days max. I think because everyone craves this, like, in-person thing, get it to be in person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to reveal too much about this Love is Blind show on Netflix that I was telling you about, but
mm-hmm.
Love is Blind, The Bachelor, like, all these shows, what everyone's, like, not realizing is that they're all together and spending time together.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spend time with someone, like, this is why coworkers end up getting together, like, you really get to know them. And so I think, like, that's what we're missing. It's, like, we don't spend time with people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, real quality time. And so, like, navigating dating apps, get in person as soon as you can.
So I know that you've had mixers and stuff,
mm-hmm.
like, with your podcast and sort of your listenership. How's that, like, fared?
The mixers have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, just hearing myself talk about, like, how you should spend time, I'm thinking, like, my mixers are great, but they're not, like, and I have singles dinners, which are more intimate.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me is, like, maybe they should be, like, during the day doing exercises together. Like, it's, like, that team-building stuff
yeah.
that really gets you to, like, know someone,
mm-hmm.
you know? Whereas, like, if you're just grabbing drinks at a bar and, like, having a, you know, a conversation, like, oh, where are you from? Where do you work?
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to get to know someone. And I think maybe I'm just brainwashed by all these reality dating shows, but I feel like these exercises that you do together really do reveal so much.
Yeah, for sure. If there, like, is there anything that, if you could give advice to yourself, like, 6, 7 years ago, like, right after you left college, like, is there anything that you would kind of say?
Oh, I just, so I did an episode, and we talked about this, my friend Ariana and I, from But Like Maybe, she's, like, an amazing cartoonist, and we went back and forth saying, like, pieces of advice. I was so naive when it came to dating. Like, I could not recognize what a fuckboy was, or if someone was using me, or if someone wasn't interested, or if I was being too clingy. So I, looking back, would probably be like, first of all, get your own apartment, because I was living at home for, like, so long that I became, like, too dependent on guys.
I'm, like, very scared that's gonna happen.
Yeah. And then, two, like,
when did you move out of your parents' place?
Probably, like, a year after I graduated.
Yeah.
But if it were up to me, like, that day that I graduated. and then try to, like, focus on your own career and not, like, doing jobs that, like, you just don't really like to, like, make a salary and then, like, be obsessed with boys. Because I feel like I made that mistake a lot. And granted, like, not a lot of people have their passion when they're, like, in their early 20s, but I just, like, I don't even think I was focused on it, really. So that, and then just, like, be open, like, be able to see red flags. And, like, don't ever put guys before your friends. Don't, like, change your plans for a guy. Don't, like, be desperate for someone who, like, you're questioning if they're into you, you know? Like, don't ever, if you have to question it, they're not, move on. Like, just, and also, like, relax. Don't, like, take as many drugs and, like, drink as much. Like, it's not hot.
Yeah. I think that advice will definitely resonate with a lot of people. At this age, too, a lot of people don't know how to navigate out of that, okay, well, I met someone out and we hooked up. How do I make it something more?
Right. And I think that's the problem in itself. And, like, you really nailed it. Like, one thing I forgot to mention to you, like, if I'm talking to my 23-year-old self, have fun. Stop trying to make everyone your husband. Just fucking enjoy. Like, live your life. And if someone makes you happy, whether it's because the sex is good or because they text you or whatever it is, just go with it, you know? Because you're going to be 29 and you're not going to be able to date for fun like that anymore. I mean, you can, you know, but the pressure and your eggs and all that shit like comes up. So you're 23, go out and enjoy and stop being like, what are we? Like, just literally enjoy that person and probably guarantee that person will like you a lot more.
It's honestly so crazy though. And I was thinking about this today that the issue at this point for a lot of my friends is not like, okay, what do I do with this guy that I like or this girl that I like? It's how do I get someone to like me? I think people are just having a hard time to even get to that point of like a relationship because so many people I know, it's like, and even me and myself, everything's casual. Nobody wants to commit to anything. Everybody's afraid of rejection and commitment, and so it's kind of this in-between state of, if you do have someone, maybe you're just seeing them, and if you don't have someone, it's like, how do I even find someone, you know?
I guess, like, you find someone by not needing someone is the reality.
Do you believe that, like, if you're not looking for it, it happens?
Oh, yeah. It's always, like, it's so cheesy, but it's always, like, oh, like, I wasn't even, and then, like, I saw them, and they were, like, you know, it's always that story. Or, like, my friend dragged me to a party. I didn't even want to go. Like, I wasn't even in the mood, but, like, we were having fun, and we were laughing. It's always when you're laughing, I swear to God, that you meet someone. because you're attracting this, like, positive energy that people want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. That's actually really good advice. I feel like if you don't look approachable, you never will be approached.
Totally.
There, I actually had a lot of people, like, write in some questions.
Oh, I love it.
So I'm gonna see if any of them makes sense. Somebody wrote, why are all men subhuman?
That's hilarious. I wish I knew the answer to that.
I know, right? how the fuck do you date and manage a demanding career?
Yeah. I mean, it really depends on what type of career. Like, for me, dating is my career, so it is more manageable. But if you have, you know, like a 7 to 7 job or like 7 to 9 p.m. job and you're trying to figure out how to date, like, that is one benefit to the dating apps. Like, you don't have time, like, literally, to meet someone. Mm-hmm. So going on one of those dating apps and striking up a conversation, getting it to in person, that's one way. I think another way is, like, on the weekends, you know, if you have the energy, go out at least one night and go up to people the same way that I just talked about on my episode. Don't be afraid to go up to people. And if you don't want to go out, because I don't even think I've ever met a quality person out at night,
mm-hmm.
go to events that you're interested in, whether
mm-hmm.
it's like networking events or whatever it is, like work events, after work drinks. Like, that's where it can join a Zog sports team. I'm all about that.
What is that?
Zog sports.
I've never heard of
Zog sports.com.
Uh-huh.
It's like these sports teams for people like in their 20s, 30s in the city. I joined one once and there were like 15 hot guys.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, this might be good. If someone says they're not sure they're ready to date, should you give them space?
Space to the point where you never speak to them again and you date someone else because they're not interested in you.
So do you think that sort of in this era of, you know, Me Too and I don't want to say PC culture because that sounds negative and it's not at all. And I think that...
No, I know what you're saying.
It's, like, great that we have this, like, empowering era now, but should girls be more aggressive now?
Definitely. I think 100%. I mean, it aligns with going up to a guy and introducing yourself. I think that, you know, it's okay to make the first move. You just have to, like, let it, you know, be taken from there. But I think I read something recently. It was like a meme that the only thing you need to do to get a guy interested in you these days is give him one compliment, because guys are so like starving for something like that. So I mean, it's kind of true.
Mm-hmm. And there are some base questions I think I get a lot, and it's like, one, who pays on the first date?
Whoever invites you on the first date.
Mm-hmm. Two, what sort of makes somebody, like, a dating expert?
I think just, like, amassing knowledge about dating
mm-hmm.
and hearing about other people's experiences, going through your own experiences. But I think it's funny because people call me a dating expert, but I'm like, I'm just learning just like you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's someone who realizes they're not an expert, probably. Just like with anything.
What sort of stuff have you really learned, like, through this experience of having this
mm-hmm.
podcast?
That's a great question. I've learned a lot of different things, but I think the biggest thing I've learned is that everyone does dating differently
mm-hmm.
and no one does it the same way. And it's so important to communicate and over communicate when you're dating to get on the same page. Like, I just had an argument with one of my best guy friends because he thinks that you should let a girl pay on the third date. And then my other friend thinks, like, you should never let a girl pay. And it's just everyone thinks about things so differently.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make them a bad person. But if you're closed off to understanding why they think the way they think about something and not communicating about it, you will not have a good dating experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not black and white.
There's no correct answers when it comes to dating. I think that there are, like, probably, you know, base things that everybody should do just to be, like, a decent person.
Right, or to not be a doormat.
Yeah, exactly. But when it comes to taking advice and everything is just is so personal to you and your situation and how you do it. So you get questions all the time from people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure in your DMs and whatnot. Are there sort of questions that are repetitive that you get a lot?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's always asking me, when can they define the relationship? And, like, when can they ask, what are we? And I just don't like that. Like, I just don't think that... I think that if you have to ask, it's not a good sign.
Yeah.
I think you should know what you are with someone, where you stand with someone. For me, I need communication, like, at all times. But if you're that confused, it's either a red flag or, like... maybe they're just as confused, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're feeling secure about something, it'll probably lead to something.
And are there sort of, like, is there anything really crazy that you've sort of talked to people about or anything like that? Any funny stories you could give us?
So many stories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my favorite story is one of our early episodes. This guy came on and he said this girl gave him head. And then ghosted him, and he, like, fell in love with her. So it just goes to show, like, if you're gonna hook up with a guy, then just, like, don't take them seriously, and it'll drive them crazy.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the whole, like, ghosting culture now?
I just think that it's sad. I think people need to man up and just, like, not be afraid. And I have this anti-ghost text as a highlight on my Instagram
mm-hmm.
to encourage people to say something and give them something to say, because it's just not, it's not classy to
mm-hmm.
ghost. Like, I don't have a good taste in my mouth about anyone who's ever ghosted.
So, now looking forward that you're dating, is there... do you kind of have something you're looking for, or, like, not really?
I think I know exactly what I'm looking for because
yeah.
I've done so much dating
mm-hmm.
That I really know myself, and I know what I need, and I know my love language, and I know my, like, all the attachment theories,
mm-hmm.
and, like, I've done all the, you know, quizzes and this and that, and I know kind of what I am looking for, so it's very cut and dry. Like, I know within a couple minutes if someone's not for me.
Yeah. So, it's so interesting. I was listening to Call Her Daddy this morning. and they talk a little bit about love languages. And I think that's something I definitely want to touch on at some point in one of my episodes.
Love language is how you receive love.
Yeah.
And how you give love.
It's a great way to explain it. And, I mean, I think it's so interesting, like, you said that you know your love language, because I had taken, like, the quiz before and after being in a relationship, and my answers were totally different.
Mm-hmm. It can change.
Yeah.
It can really change. Because you can be in a relationship and be like, oh, I wasn't getting this, and I clearly need this,
mm-hmm.
and now you know that's your love language.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think... it's interesting to take the love language quiz just to sort of see where you fall, because maybe it's something you don't realize you care about and then you realize you do after
mm-hmm.
taking it. But yeah, so I want to quickly do something which we call shots. And it's rapid fire, like this or that questions, just to get to know you a little bit more.
Love it.
So... if you're ready, we'll do some shots.
I'm ready for some shots.
Okay. So, a live-in massage therapist or a live-in chef?
Massage therapist. I'm happy with Seamless.
1 million Instagram followers or $100,000?
Probably 1 million Instagram followers, because I could leverage it.
Right? That's
yeah.
what I thought, too. You can make $100,000.
But, like, if they're real people who engage with me.
Yeah. Oh, of course, social media.
Uh-huh.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Be a master of tactics or strategy?
Strategy.
Be with someone who is dumb and rich or hot and poor?
Hot and poor. I can't look at dumb and rich words. Plus, they'll probably lose their money soon. Because they're dumb.
That's true. Be loved or feared?
Loved, but it's a really hard one.
Be stuck at age 18 or 50?
Oof, 50.
If you had a boat, what would you name it?
Oh, that's so good. I just thought of this recently because my friend did like a funny Instagram story when she saw a boat. This is so hard. I guess I would have to name it something podcast related now. Like, we met on this boat or something.
So for everyone out there, where can they find you and where can they listen to your podcast?
Yes, they can find me on Instagram at LindsMetz with Z's, LindzMetz, or at We Met at Acme. They can listen to my podcast on Spotify or iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for having me.
No, of course. Thank you so much for being here. And you should definitely go on Lindsay's Instagram. Her podcast Instagram has a ton of fun polls all the time. And she throws events and does live talks and such. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I've really, really appreciated this. And
you can find Drinks First at drinks.first on Instagram. You can email us drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find me, Ariana, at ArianaNathani28. Or TikTok, why not? At Ariana Nathani on TikTok. Hit me up. All right, see ya.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs. You just bought a home in the suburbs, but no one told you about all the birds, specifically this one, who seems to be calling out Roy. Roy. But who exactly is Roy? And why doesn't he ever respond? Maybe Roy is just bird speak for save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto. I guess until Roy answers, we'll never know. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.